about to hear is real. The participants are not actors. They are actual podcasters with a case both for and against a recent wrestling pay-per-view. Both parties have agreed to have their arguments heard here, on Viewer's Choice, with Marcus and Tim.
Thank you for joining us once again via the North-South Connection. This is Viewer's Choice, the North-South Connection's regular look at the latest and greatest from WWE, AEW, and NXT in regards to their live events. And we are fresh off of the heels of NXT TakeOver Stand and Deliver. I am Tim, and normally I'm joined by my best friend and podcast compatriot Marcus, but instead this time around I'm joined by a different partner. So as mentioned on other podcasts, Marcus is currently in Tampa, Florida for something. I don't know what exactly is happening in Tampa this weekend.
It's wrestling a gator, always.
Yes, but in his stead is an unexpected partner, an unexpected podcast co-host, my lovely girlfriend, Megan. Megan, how are you?
I'm doing good. I just got subjected to a lot of wrestling.
Now, you say subjected as if I forced you to watch this.
You did.
But literally, the question was posed to you, hey, Marcus can't podcast this week. Would you mind watching TakeOver with me and podcasting? And you said yes. Why?
You weren't recording at that time. You can't prove that.
I mean, it's the loving audience knows me, and they don't know you. So I'm hoping they take my word for it. But I'm also very curious. Why did you say yes? You're not a wrestling fan.
I don't know, because it seemed funny.
Oh, okay.
Like, I know, like, as someone who's coming in who doesn't watch wrestling regularly, I assumed there would be a lot of potential for humor for both you and the rest of the audience. So, you know, here I am.
And just to triple stamp the double stamp, I'll ask a couple of leading questions. As a child or as a youth, I know that automatically the audience for wrestling is skewed 99-1 in regards to men to women, but growing up, did your dad watch it, or did any of like your uncles watch it, or like growing up and like coming up in school, was it ever brought up? Because I know you're a little bit younger than me, so I'm not sure how much exposure you've had to wrestling prior to me.
So I don't think wrestling was ever a big thing, at least for anybody that I saw regularly family-wise. Definitely not in the immediate family. I think the most exposure I've had to wrestling growing up was a Hulk Hogan pillow buddy.
Okay.
And I think that was about as close as I ever got.
And that's the only one I didn't have. I had the Million Dollar Man, I had the Ultimate Warrior, and I had Randy Savage, but I didn't have the Hulk Hogan buddy.
It's because we stole it. It was ours.
If you knew me back then, I would have cried like crazy to my mom. So that's interesting that there wasn't much exposure to wrestling for you. Especially with, like, how big it was during, I don't want to say what grade you would have been in, because it will make me feel old. But, like, late 99, early 2000, like, to me it seemed as though wrestling was unavoidable. And it seems as though it still was kind of avoidable. But that's neither here nor there. So, thank you for joining me and having this this opportunity to podcast. I know this is your first time actually being on the microphone and doing a podcast thing, so I promise I'll be gentle and everything will be okay. So we have already watched both nights of NXT TakeOver Stand and Deliver, but we want to break them down individually, night one and night two. I figured that would be the most easiest for someone like you who doesn't necessarily consume wrestling at an alarming volume like myself or Marcus or anyone else who listens to the podcast would. So I guess it's best to stick in order. So starting with TakeOver Night 1, what is your thoughts on what you witnessed in Night 1 as an overarching whole?
So I think it was more of a learning experience for me, in that I learned I am more into like the more acrobatic displays. Like I'm enjoying the wrestlers who are doing a bit more like flipping and jumping and kicking each other in the face a little bit more elaborately.
Mm-hmm.
And I feel like there was definitely a lot of that in night one.
There was.
So it was a good intro for me for watching like an extended live event.
Yep. And so to give you all a bit of perspective, this isn't the first time that Megan has actually... It's the first time she's actually sat down and focused on NXT.
Which is difficult for me, not because it's wrestling, but because I can't focus.
But it is... She has watched NXT in passing, so she was aware of Johnny Gargano and Tommaso Ciampa by name. Like, without being prompted, she already knew who those people were on site.
He was very proud of me. I was very happy.
I know. It's kind of like, you remembered something of mine? This is awesome. And so, but everyone else is uncharted territory for Megan. And so, we'll go from top to bottom on the night one card.
Oh, no.
And we'll talk about what you liked and what you didn't like. I actually have the notepad that we did a pre-exercise on. Hold on, I'm going to find my page.
Just to kind of elaborate on that, I was shown pictures ahead of time of who was going to be on the card and told to just describe them. So I'm not going to use a lot of these people's actual names.
Yes. So, I'm going to mention who they are. And, of course, then we'll get to who she thinks they are. hold on. Did I have... I'm looking around.
I know you wrote it down. I know you had a whole page on it.
I did have it down. I'm trying to look for one name in particular.
I mean, worst case scenario, on my notes, I tried to label the matches by the names, so...
Yes. Okay. So, starting with match number one, it was the Fur Trapper versus Marty McFly, as Megan would say, Pete Dunne and Kushida. And you really dug this match.
I did. I was definitely enjoying it. I think it helped that it was the first match, and I was still kind of fresh on it, because I know by the end, my attention was starting to wander a bit. Not because it wasn't interesting, but just because I don't have an attention span.
Right. And I tried to give her little tips and little tricks, like, she's big into comics and superhero stuff, so making the analogy that wrestling is a superhero show, wrestling is... wrestlers all have like superpowers kind of, and they all do different things, and it's usually always good guy versus bad guy, unless you're talking about AEW, and then good guys and bad guys don't exist, right, Cody? So Pete Dunne picking up the victory over Kushida. What exactly did you like about what you saw, or is it more of just like pretty sights and sounds? Yay! I like this.
Rude.
Or,
I'm feeling called out.
Well, no.
How dare you?
Is it more that you just like the entire presentation and you can't necessarily pick out specific things, or were there specific things that, as a non-wrestling fan, won you over for this match?
So I learned, like, just watching overall that I definitely am rooting for the smaller guy for the most part. So it was interesting to see a match with two very, like, acrobatic, squirrely guys going against each other. Because it was interesting, instead of seeing, like, one big lumbering guy and one guy just kind of darting around him.
Yep. Which you did get your fill of.
Absolutely.
Tonight, both in the UK Championship match as well as in the women's title match. The big versus little concept was there, but you know, a lot of grappling exchanges, a lot of control over the hand and the wrist for both Kushida and Pete Dunne. Really, I thought this was a really solid opening contest. I think it was probably the best way to start night one, considering everything else that was on the card for the night. But yeah, Pete Dunne picking up the victory. I think that lands right into what exactly you would want or desire for that. So we go from something very simple for you to follow to something quite complex, and it's even complex. It's complex for even like normal fans. Some would say convoluted. The
maybe a bit.
NXT North American Championship number one contender gauntlet eliminator. Some would remember this when I was hearing the rules of it before the show started. It reminded me of something very exciting that I loved in, like, the late 2000s. You wouldn't know this, but those listening at home, this is an absolute Mike Adamley original. This is the championship scramble to a certain degree. You start with two. Every 3 minutes, someone comes in. Eliminations occur. So they remixed it just a bit. But it was definitely interesting to see Megan immediately asked the question, why is the little guy on the ground crawling and the other guy is walking after him, and the match hadn't even started yet?
And then, of course, we had issues with the stream loading for us, so when it, like, flicked to them all of a sudden in the ring, I'm just like, wait, I need explanation. What happened?
We had the good technical difficulties going on, and it was not Peacock, even though I'd like to say it was Peacock. I think we were having internet connectivity issues. I looked it up on WebMD, and it said that I suffered from internet connectivity issues. Because we're on Wi-Fi downstairs. We actually watched it in the boudoir.
And it probably didn't help that I think someone upstairs was playing some intensive online gaming.
I mean,
possibly. I don't know.
Or two, at least. I mean, we share the house with a couple of other people, and everyone here pretty much games and streams. So bandwidth is at a premium around here. But nevertheless, the NXT North American Gauntlet Eliminator featured. Let's see here. Featured wrestlers such as He's So Tiny and Black Vibe and Thick Jonas. And
oh, that's right! Yeah, that's what we called him.
Thick Jonas, and you didn't really have a name for Cameron Grimes. There was also Not A Real Person, also known as Buff Lieutenant Dangle.
Yeah, he looked like... do you remember that movie, Little Soldiers or something like that?
Small Soldiers?
Yeah, Small Soldiers. He looked like something from that come to life.
He does look like the personification of the little general dude.
Yeah.
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 And then
I did not like his, like, what was it? He looked like Pepper doing chicken legs or like something from The Grudge.
When he crawled through the ring.
I did not enjoy that.
No leg, crawling on his knuckles like a gorilla. And then she won my heart over by referring to Hagerstown, Maryland's number one son, L.A. Knight, as just a dude. And yes, I did the finger point when I did the three things, because L.A. Knight is so cool. that it makes me vomitous.
I just couldn't really, he didn't really leave an impression. He just looked like a normal guy.
So I can marry her, right? She agrees that L.A. Knight is just a dude and doesn't do anything realist, nothing worthwhile, and not, like, this is a keeper, right? She's on this. We'll see about night two. But so far, stocks are up.
Woo-hoo.
But hard to follow, at least for you, as far as, like, not being a wrestling fan and also having ADHD and, like,
if things... If they hadn't announced who was eliminated, I probably wouldn't have known.
Right.
It was a lot.
It is. It is. But order of elimination, Leon Ruff went first, followed by Dexter Lumis, L.A. Knight, Cameron Grimes, then Isaiah Swerve Scott, leading to Bronson Reed, Thick Jonas himself, picking up the victory after that gigantic tsunami splash off the top rope, setting up Johnny Gargano and himself in night two for the NXT North American Championship. Was there anything... Did you like or dislike the Gauntlet Eliminator?
It was just, it was a lot to follow and not knowing everybody. Like, I didn't really root for anybody in particular, I think. So it was just kind of like, eh, you know, it's whoever comes out of this, I guess.
Yep, that's right. What was next? Oh, yeah. So next up was...
Tommaso and Walter, right?
Yep, Tommaso Ciampa and Walter for the NXT UK Championship. This is your typical big man, little man match.
And Tommaso's a scrappy one, too. So, like, he put up a hell of a fight.
Yeah, and you... It was very interesting. So, they showed before the match, they showed the promotional video of Walter and Tommaso, and they showed the necklace rip spot, and she thought that Walter, like,
I thought he just pulled some of his beard off. Like, I didn't register that he had grabbed the necklace at first. I thought he just ripped some of Tommaso's beard off.
I mean, yes. I mean, that is also a thing. But what was your thoughts on Walter and Tommaso Ciampa? Obviously, you're a big Tommaso Ciampa fan because you actually remember who the heck he is.
Yeah.
But Walter, on the other hand, what were your thoughts on Walter?
His opening music is a little pretentious, I feel like.
Yeah.
For me, it's like a little... Like, I get the vibe he's going for. I understand it. I respect it. A little much.
To me, his theme will always be Oleg the Usurper's theme. This goes out to those who know. If you know, you know. This is Oleg's theme. As soon as I found out that Walter was using Oleg's theme, Walter was dead to me. And then they continued to beat over the head with a blunt object the fact that he was NXT UK champion for 2 years and 2 days undefeated.
But does it really count when most of that was during lockdown? Does it really, really count?
Out of the mouth of babes, everyone. Yeah, like, the UK was on lockdown for like a whole year for the most part. Like, who exactly is going to challenge Walter for the UK championship? His house mice... Like,
is he married? Is his wife challenging him? Is his husband challenging him? I don't know enough about him.
I don't either, except that he's 33 years old, and he's Austrian, and he runs a group called Imperium, and he used to run a group called Ringkampf. And
bold choice, okay.
I mean, Austrian, he's...
I get it.
It's called swerving and steering into the skid, I guess you would say. But, so I'm taking it not a Walter fan?
Not really. I wasn't a huge fan of him. But then again, like I said earlier, I'm partial to the scrappy little guy fighting the bigger dude, so...
Yeah. I mean, your favorite superhero is is Spider-Man, so
fair.
Yeah. if everything you love is Spider-Man, then everything you hate is like the Rhino and the Sandman and like the big large villain that he has to topple.
Yeah.
But you were cringing at a lot of the chops and the power bombs, and
they were getting some hard hits in there.
Yeah, you were. She was reacting pretty much throughout the entire night when someone got chopped, or like,
or when didn't he get like kicked in the throat at one point?
Yes. Yeah. Just straight up. Oh. Ciampa was on the ground. I think it was during the.
No, he was. He wasn't fully on the ground.
Oh, okay.
He was like coming at him and.
Yep, big boot right to the throat.
Boots him in the throat.
Yeah, you know, that's it is what it is. This is getting a little more technical, and that's something you probably didn't grasp, but and we'll kind of go back to it a little more, but one of my pet peeves as a wrestling fan sometimes is when like matches don't seem to watch the other matches that go on before it.
Yeah.
So like in match one, there's a lot of handwork and a lot of hand manipulation. And in match two, there's some more like hand manipulation. Mm-hmm. And then match three, there's some more hand manipulation.
Everybody wanted to break everybody else's fingies tonight.
Yeah, and then that carries over into match four for the NXT Tag Team Championship as the team of Zoolander and Mexican Billy Mays took on... Took on the Rat Boys, and then took on a Psycho and the Silent Killer. The Wednesday Night War.
That's right, yeah. I couldn't remember what I had... called them when we looked at the pictures, and I was just like, just some guys.
Yeah, our Wednesday Night War friends would be very upset that you referred to Raul the Line Mendoza as Mexican Billy Mays. But
the picture you showed me, he just looked like Billy Mays. Rest in peace.
Yeah, it's fine. but this is for the vacant NXT Tag Team titles. And I thought this was a fun triple threat match to crown new champions. Very much the same as what we saw from MSK and the Grizzled Young Vets from TakeOver 30, with the inclusion of Legado del Fantasma with Joaquin Wilde in the suite. I don't know if he borrowed Ricochet's Prince Puma mask or if he's trying to channel like King from Tekken, but you were into the mask.
I was into the mask. I liked the presentation, the surprise round in the corner there. So yep. Very eye catching.
Yeah, not necessarily looking for a Zoolander-esque looking for Zoolander and then getting a Tiger Man.
He was cutting some Zoolander looks during the match.
I mean, yes, and he. He definitely channeled Kid Romeo with his new dance. That's for all the WCW fans out there. What did you think of the tag team match, Playa?
I didn't realize who had been eliminated at first, so I was kind of disappointed with the end when I was like, Rat Boys won.
Yeah. Well, this one wasn't an elimination style. It was all at once, but... It's definitely, I kind of told her at the beginning, I was like, this is going to be very much like the Gauntlet Eliminator, going to be kind of hard to follow, but it's three teams, so it's a little bit easier, but I'm very happy MSK won. Megan was actually going for Legado del Fantasma.
I was. They were putting on a good show.
Yeah, they showed out. This was, they mentioned it was Raul Mendoza's first time at TakeOver since... He debuted in the original Cruiserweight Classic almost 4 years ago. Ooh. So the long journey for Raul Mendoza was paid off and worked out well. And then it gets us to our main event of the evening for the NXT Women's Championship for night one. As the Genius of the Sky, the Joshi Judas, Io Shirai... looked to successfully defend her championship against Big Mommy Cool. Raquel Gonzalez went commercial free for both USA and Peacock. What did you think of the women's championship match?
I'm bummed Io didn't win. Like, she was putting on one hell of a show out there. She was... I really enjoyed watching her. I know my attention was waning, but, like, I did keep wanting to look and, like, see her flip through and throw Raquel with her thighs. Yes. That seemed like she was... It seemed like it was just all hip-centric. Like, she was just picking this person up with no effort and throwing them with her legs.
Yeah, for the most part. I mean, that looks about right. I was going to mention something to you at the beginning of the night, and then I told you that I was going to circle back to it during the podcast.
Mm-hmm.
So, with everything, with, like, television programs or Marvel movies or anything like that, there's tropes. With what's going on. And a big wrestling trope is, if you tell me the number of days that someone has been champion, and it's coming up on like a record-setting time, it kind of, to the normal wrestling fan, make us start to think, oh,
they're going to break that record.
They're telling us that they've been champion for a while. So to try to fool us into thinking they're going to keep winning, but in all actuality, they're going to lose.
Mm-hmm.
Raquel's been rocket strapped. She's got the rocket to her back and she's going to the moon right now. So it's not unheard of that she would get this opportunity and actually win the NXT Women's Championship in night one, in her first attempt. But I was kind of disappointed in the match. It seemed as though that Io had control for most of the match.
And then just out of nowhere.
Yeah, like I get that it's power versus speed and like mm-hmm. Raquel is the larger of the two and that one from her is like five from Io. But... for the pageantry of your first title win and it being WrestleMania weekend and it being like the biggest takeover in WWE history up to this point, it was kind of like the finish, the actual ending of the match just came out of nowhere.
Yeah, it was kind of underwhelming. Like, I was like, oh, it's done.
Yeah, like, and that kind of goes, for me at least the last three matches of the night. I feel like Walter and Ciampa just ended out of nowhere. I feel like MSK winning the NXT tag titles just ended out of nowhere. And then the NXT women's title ended out of nowhere. This could deal with the fact that night one of TakeOver was on the USA Network. They have to serve many masters. They have to be out by 10-ish.
So that, like, they had to, like, hard stop times. Like, all right, we can't let this drag on past this point, because if this drags on, this can't.
Right. There's not much leeway between the actual... there's not much leeway between the network itself. There's some overrun, but usually they try to get out no more. Like, regular nights of NXT, they get, I think, maybe like a 15-minute overrun to get you to 10:15. But at this point, like, what's the extra 15 minutes, especially since night two went on for what seemed like 3 hours? 3.5 hours? I know that before the show even started, they had that infographic that it was going around of like the timestamps of what the shows are kind of laid out as.
Yeah.
And they're like, TakeOver Night 2 starts at 8, estimated runtime, 3.5 hours. And I'm like, oof.
That's a lot of wrestling.
It's a lot of wrestling for you. And then with me as a person who's someone who's kind of built up the proverbial callus for wrestling,
Got that good wrestling blister.
I do have a wrestling blister. But overall, for night one, usually here we say guilty or innocent, or we say skip or watch or skip. But I'll ask you if you had to give it like a overall letter grade from A to F, as far as like takeover night one as a whole, you would give night one A.
I'd say somewhere maybe like a B or C.
Okay.
Like, I got to see a lot of what I've learned I enjoy out of wrestling, but there was definitely some stuff, like you said, like that ended abruptly, very suddenly, and I would have almost liked to have seen more.
Well, be careful what you wish for, because NXT TakeOver Night 2...
Send help.
...had a little bit more weight on the bone. So, in a nutshell, what did you think of Night 2?
It was long, and I wasn't as engaged. I felt like it was a lot of nothing for the most part, and this is coming again from someone who's got an attention span issue anyway. Like, there was maybe one or two matches that I was engaged with.
And I tend to agree with you on it. I feel like tonight, night two, there was definitely, this was catered more towards the hardcore NXT fan, where night one was definitely felt as though it was something that was airing on television. It was something that was competing against another wrestling program, which it was. And tonight definitely, stood and delivered, as the name of the show would proclaim, as being, as kind of owning the night and letting their big major stories play out on night number two. I mean, if you look at, as a fan, all of their quicker, short-term stories played out in night one. I mean, Pete Dunne and Kushida didn't have a whole lot of beef. Walter and Tommaso Ciampa didn't. The tag titles really didn't. Raquel and Io was probably the only thing that was like the longest term. But then you look at tonight. You look at night two. Escobar and Devlin have been a thing on and off since Escobar was crowned interim Cruiserweight champion. Karrion Kross and Finn Balor has been brewing since Finn Balor won the NXT championship after Karrion Kross had to vacate the title. And then, of course, Kyle O'Reilly and Adam Cole have been on the same side of the same stable since they debuted in NXT. And then if you're a fan of them outside of this, you know that these bloodlines run much, much deeper, so it pays off to a different audience. But even then, I felt like tonight was just, everything was just a little too long.
Yeah, like, it got to the point, I know, at least, like, you know, skipping ahead briefly to the last match, I was just like, I don't care who wins at this point. Just let him go. Just somebody die.
Yeah, I mean, that last, the main event, Adam Cole, Kyle O'Reilly, went 40 minutes and 10 seconds, according to the authority of wrestling news and such, Wikipedia. To put that into perspective, the first three matches totaled a full runtime of 42 minutes. So your main event was 2 minutes shorter than the first three matches, which were a ladder match, a tag team match, and then Bronson Reed and Johnny Gargano. We'll do what we did for night one. We'll go through each match individually, get your thoughts, get my thoughts. Santos Escobar versus Jordan Devlin for the undisputed NXT Cruiserweight Championship. This was your first ladder match. What did you think of the concept, the match itself? Were you entertained?
Somebody's going to end up with their spine broken.
Yes.
Against one of those ladders.
I mean, that was Jordan Devlin getting headbutted.
Yeah.
Off the top of the ladder and through another.
I think my biggest frustration with this match wasn't either of the wrestlers. It was when one of the announcers was like, oh my God, he just hit him in the knees with that ladder. When he blatantly hit him in the stomach. And I was just confused.
Yeah, it's tough. The announcers call what they see on the monitors. So
somebody get them better monitors.
Yeah, they're very small monitors. So definitely not the size of the TV monitor that Cole swung at the end of the night. But I thought the ladder match was fine. You mentioned this in private, but I'll bring it up here.
Rude.
One-on-one ladder matches don't tend to be as exciting or as investing or...
Yeah, I felt like if you had had more people in, if it was like maybe a tag team ladder match or something, or just throw all four of them in the ring, I don't care. There would have been more going on that would have kind of made it a bit more exciting, but it was a lot of them making it all the way to the top of the ladder because there's only one other guy and they've got that guy laid out on the mat.
Yeah, I mean, that's kind of why, at least for me, the standard of ladder match now is the Money in the Bank ladder match, which has anywhere between 6 and 10 people in it. So the amount of revolving pieces that can come in and out of the ring to cause a ruckus is heavily increased. But I think that Escobar and Devlin did their best. They did extremely well.
For sure.
And I, for one, am happy with the result, with Santos becoming the undisputed Cruiserweight champion.
I liked his boots.
Yeah, he did have very nice boots.
He had some nice boots. And a lot of purple, which I always appreciate.
Yeah, purple's your favorite color, so... A big fan of Legado del Fantasma of Santos Escobar, Zoolander, and Mexican Billionaire
Zoolander. And didn't we decide he was Hans?
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes. Match number two, we had The Way with Candice LeRae and Indy Hartwell taking on the NXT Women's Tag Team Champions of Ember Moon and Shotzi Blackheart.
I love you, but I would absolutely let Ember Moon do anything and thank her for it.
Okay. There's other people on the internet who might second that.
In all seriousness, though, she was awesome. Like, I feel like she put on the best show of all of the best performance, I suppose I should say, out of the bunch. She was having a lot more fun with it.
Yeah, definitely with her and Shotzi and the big tank and such. it's always a fun time.
I forgot about the tank.
Yeah, the tank doing donuts on the stage. shout out to Candice LeRae for channeling her inner Lady Thor.
Loved it.
She is one. Her and Johnny are one to cosplay in the realm of the superhero. Quite often, so
here for it.
I'm excited for that. I thought this match was. I think this was maybe match of the night. Didn't really overstay its welcome. Got in, got out. There was good tag team continuity between the two,
and
it definitely led to me wanting more out of The Way of The Way. Till eventually they get their shot at the NXT tag team titles again. Then we get to the third member of The Way, NXT North American Champion Johnny Gargano, defeating Bronson Reed, Thick Jonas. Johnny Gargano being the only other person on the card that Megan knows by name.
Yay!
So, of course, she's immediately a Johnny Gargano fan before. Maybe it's best that you're not around Marcus and I a lot when we talk about...
I know you guys aren't fans.
Johnny Gargano and the definite expression of Gargano fatigue.
Look, he won me over in the first match I watched coming out in the Captain America gear. I'm a Marvel nerd, and he played me like a fiddle.
Yeah, and that was back when, like, Johnny was good, and then, like, you get, like, 8 straight matches of Johnny doing the same stuff and, like, looking at his hands, questioning whether or not he's done a bad thing. He definitely toned it down. Good showing for Bronson Reed. But I feel it went just a little bit long for the style of match that it was.
A little bit.
Big guy, little guy. But either way, Gargano retaining. Looks like the Gargano curse is officially done with. And this may be a lengthy reign for Johnny moving forward. Double main event time. And Finn Balor, the NXT champion, defended his title in a losing effort to Karrion Kross. We have a new NXT champion. What did you think of the presentation of Scarlett and Karrion Kross?
It was interesting. Definitely interesting cinematography on it. You know, keying it out full black and white there for a bit. They were having fun with it, so it was infectious.
Yeah, I mean, a lot of people... the reason I ask is because a lot of people tend to look at the package of Karrion Kross and Scarlett and lean towards their entrance mm-hmm. as being kind of the big thing about them. I think this might have been Karrion Kross's best match in NXT so far, but even so, it was very much not what I expected. I don't know if it's bad. I guess, like, in my head, the expectation of the match was going to be different than what was actually given. So in somewhere inside of me, there is an internal conflict, which makes me go, meh, this match is not great. Mm-hmm. But kind of leaning back to night one in a way, the ending of the match definitely seemed to have, like, come from nowhere. It was Finn kind of had the upper hand.
And Kross, then all of a sudden it's...
Yeah, Kross strung some stuff together, hits him with a big forearm, knocks him out, and pins him.
It's like the whole, you know, step one, step two, question mark, profit.
Exactly. I think that's... is close to talking about wrestling in a meme. That's probably it. What did you have in regards to the match? Did you enjoy this?
This is kind of where my attention started to wane, to be fair. At this point, I was just kind of just not as engaged. It was a decent match. I'm glad that Kross won. I definitely kind of enjoyed his style a bit more, but this was kind of where the night was starting to drag for me a bit.
And for someone who's not really a wrestling fan, you're into your second consecutive night of wrestling.
It's a lot of wrestling.
And this match went on at about the 9:15 mark of the night.
And like, don't get me wrong, I don't mind sitting and having it running, and I mean, we usually throw it up at the end of the night anyway, but for me, even when I'm watching stuff that I'm actively engaged in, I like to have other stuff going on, like fiddling with my crafts or whatever,
mm-hmm.
and for the sake of the podcast, I didn't want to try to be too distracted, but it was starting to creep up at that point.
And I told her, it was like that, I told her not to kind of tip my hand towards what I felt of the night, but I told her it was a struggle for me too. Like, especially through the Finn Balor and Karrion Kross match, I tended to look... I try not to, especially for, like, takeovers and WrestleManias and, like, SummerSlams and whatnot, I try to stay off my phone and watch the match as much as possible, but it was definitely difficult through here, especially since... It was around that time that I saw that the new Dark Side of the Ring commercial came out on Twitter. So I was trying to watch that while also, like, watch some of the match, like, the introductions. And then as soon as I saw that Ultimate Warrior was getting an episode, I was kind of like...
Our Twitters are so different.
Yeah, and our TikToks, but that's okay. But then we get to the main event, the unsanctioned match. Kyle O'Reilly, Adam Cole. And this match kind of brought you back a little bit. I think you got a good mental nap during Karrion Kross and Finn Balor, and you were like, okay, I'll focus in on this. And then your brain was like, why did I let you focus me on this? This is damn near an hour. So, thoughts on Kyle and Adam?
Somebody get both of them just ice packs, please.
Yeah,
it was rough. Like, once they started busting out chairs and chains and everybody's getting bruised up, just please go take good long naps.
Yeah, here's hoping that, like, the NXT, I guess the team mom is in the back with the orange slices and the cookies. Or the orange slices and, like, the Gatorades. It's like, you kids tried hard. You guys fought. You beat the crap out of each other.
Just going to take that cold steak out of the fridge and just put that on it. That's fine.
Just frozen peas and...
Yeah, there you go.
And all the such.
That's what I was looking for.
This match was crazy. You kind of knew, as a wrestling fan, you knew that this was something that they were capable of. They didn't disappoint. I'm curious to see where this goes moving forward with Adam Cole apparently getting the stretcher job and Kyle O'Reilly standing tall. Pretty great use of the practical stunt with the ramp breaking in half on the guillotine choke from Kyle O'Reilly. Yeesh. And then Cole having to break through the sidewall to pull Kyle out. That was pretty neat.
Also almost buckled that barrier too at that one point.
The TV monitor swing was nuts. Earlier in the night, the practical clothesline where the chain was tied to the rope.
Yeah.
Kyle hits the ropes and Adam Cole just tightens the chain and almost beheads Kyle O'Reilly with it. I'm curious to see where this goes forward. If you're asking me, and I'm kind of prognosticating maybe a little too early, but without the Undisputed Era, now that Cole and O'Reilly have both broken away from the group, they're creating their own identities. Neither person in the divorce got the Undisputed Era theme song, which is kind of sad. Kyle O'Reilly gets new music. Jury's still out. Adam Cole gets new music. Jury's still out. But needless to say, the match itself, with all the other antics aside, really good. It's going to take some time, I think, for both of them, and Roderick Strong, for that matter, and wherever Bobby Fish is, whatever meeting he's getting out of with Drake Wirtz. Whatever identity they can garner post-Undisputed Era will be the story they tell. And I know this is all kind of Greek to you, babe.
It is.
But that's kind of where it was. So, you've seen both nights of NXT TakeOver, both stand and deliver. I asked you for your grade on night one. You gave it a B or a C. I think you're leaning more towards B.
Yeah.
Night two, same question. What's your grade for night two?
Solid C.
I think that's very kind. It's not any fault of theirs. It is definitely the process in which everything came across. As I mentioned, this is more for the hardcore fans. Night one was easier for you to get into because it was more excitement. in the matches.
Yeah.
Where the night two was a lot more storytelling in the ring and less on the smoke and mirrors,
yeah,
so to speak,
that's
of
fair.
Wrestling.
That's fair.
Now, we're changing the way we do viewer's choice. Instead of guilty or innocent, it's more of a watch or skip. So, if you were to run across a wrestling fan
mm-hmm.
who didn't watch Takeover, Stand and Deliver,
okay,
would you say that you could skip either of them? Do you have to watch both of them? Do you have to watch one and not the other? What's your thought, especially as someone who's not so much indoctrinated in the world?
Yeah, I'd say for someone who isn't coming in as ingrained with the stories and plot lines and such, watch night one, skip night two. But again, that's me not being as invested in some of the longer term storylines.
I think that's very fair. Night one was definitely something that was a little more entertaining, easier to consume, easier to watch.
Mm-hmm.
And I think, again, as I teased upon it, it's more so because it was on the USA Network. They were trying to drive people from night one to night two, as you could tell with the Battle Royal that leads to night two.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
So there's definitely a lot in that regard. But I would say you watch night one, you skip night two, except for the main event, just because I think the main event, with all of the backstory that the main event had. Now, granted, it's an hour-long NXT classic.
So lock in.
Get your popcorn ready. But with all that said, I think that was a rather good main event. But the underside kind of didn't hook as well as it could. And the ladies tag tried as they might, and so did the ladder match. But for us, I think it's watch night one, skip night two, watch the main event of night two if you absolutely feel the need. So, before we wrap up, I want to thank you once again for joining me here. I know the big man, he's very happy and thankful that you were able to step in on such a moment's notice.
Of course.
He's resting up after not one, but two grueling matchups.
Bless his heart.
The Showcase of the Independents at the Independent Wrestling Family Reunion. Part one and part two.
Mm-hmm.
You can catch all of that on independentwrestling.tv or IWTV.live. There's a promo going on now where you can watch 15 events during WrestleMania weekend on independentwrestling.tv for $10. I think that also gives you access to kind of the rest of the stuff on the library, but it's definitely kind of a window into what's going on, the hullabaloo that is independent wrestling during WrestleMania weekend. From what I watched, but I was able to watch a family reunion, both parts, during my work day. This was rather exciting. It was rather fun. It was good to see my best freaking friend in the whole world do his thing in the town that WrestleMania is performing in. I know it was big for him. And we will talk about that more on Final Wrestling Place, which will drop this coming Monday, the same time that our WrestleMania special will go out as well. But Megan, thank you so much for joining me. I absolutely appreciate it. Hopefully your first couple of times behind the microphone wasn't too painful.
Not too bad.
I appreciate you so much. I love you.
I love you too.
So here's where you join us at North-South Connection, podbean.com/North-South Connection. It's the home for this and many other podcasts, not just including the topics of wrestling. You've got, but if it is wrestling that you're into, they've got the Ruthlessly Aggressive podcast, The Year That Was, No Holds Barred, and so many others. I'm kind of wrestled out at this moment, so my brain is kind of not there, but you can catch all of that and all of those podcasts on North South Connection's Podbean site, podbean.com/North South Connection. If you enjoyed this podcast, you may enjoy our other podcast, as we mentioned, Final Wrestling Place, where myself and Marcus, we take the nouns of professional wrestling, the persons, places, things, and ideas, and we assign them arbitrary red points and green points and either put them in the good place with Kevin Nash or the bad place with the Harris brothers. We have taken a bit of a detour during our normal season breakdowns, and we're honoring WrestleMania the best way we know how. In the spirit of No Holds Barred, not this month, but last month, where they built the ultimate WrestleMania card, we decided to follow their footsteps just a bit and do the ultimate good place WrestleMania, where we took the best, made the best card out of all 36, but trying to pick the good place matches. And it definitely is an exercise in futility when you get near the end of it. But this week, on Monday, we're going to be doing the ultimate bad place WrestleMania. The gristle, just the bad parts of the chicken that you don't necessarily want. We're trying to make chicken salad out of chicken you-know-what. And it's not quite gonna work, but we're gonna give it a try over on Twitter, twitter.com/finalplacepod. You can catch us on the soon-to-be-named network at STBN, at STBN Network on Twitter, soon-to-be-named-network.com, soon-to-be-named-network.tumblr.com, where you can get that podcast and a bevy of others as well. A shout-out to our pod-adjacent friends over at Pod Van Dam, The A Show, and Three Count Thursday, as well as our North-South Connection brethren of At Odds with Wrestling with Joe and Adam, and the Wednesday Night War podcast with DJ and Brett. Pour one out for the boys. This week is last week of the podcast. QQ, very sad. If you want to follow us on social media, you can follow me at Not the Tool Man. You can follow Marcus on the Wrestling Speakeasy. If you know, you know. And you can always follow our show on Twitter at VC on North South. That's at VC on North South. The next time you'll hear us, we'll be breaking down night one and night two of WrestleMania live from Raymond James Stadium in Tampa, Florida. That episode will be dropping after night two on Sunday night into Monday morning, while JT and Jenny and all the rest of them are going to be there. Some of us have to watch on Peacock. So that's what we're going to do. We'll watch along and then we'll let you know our findings. But that is about everything. This would be the part where I would tell Marcus to tell the people goodbye. So, Megan, do your best, Marcus. Tell the people goodbye.
Goodbye.
See you at WrestleMania.
I tried to hide.
Man.
How you doing?
I'm great.